WNYC Studios is brought to you by ZBiotics. Seize the day after a night of drinks with ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. ZBiotics was invented by PhD scientists to break down the byproduct of alcohol, which is most responsible for making you feel crummy the next day. Drink ZBiotics before your first drink, drink responsibly, and you'll wake up refreshed and ready to take on the day. Try it for yourself at ZBiotics.com/WNYC and get 15% off your first order when you use WNYC at checkout. That's ZBiotics.com/WNYC and use the code WNYC at checkout for 15% off.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And okay, so the quarterback who followed Joe Montana was Steve Young, who did quite well for himself. So maybe that was a bad example, but you got the point in my last question to Reverend Warnock. Right now, if you walk around the city on any given day, you might find yourself bumping into one of those people who walk and text. Or when you're out at a restaurant, if you take a look around, you'll probably notice entire tables full of people all tapping away at their phones while they wait for their food. Let's be honest, you probably even take your phone with you to the bathroom. A lot of people are attached at the hip as well as the thumbs to your phones, and that doesn't even take into account iPads, Kindles, gaming systems, and whatever other kinds of technology we are using these days. So with us now is our own Maroosh Zomorodi. She's the host and managing editor of the WNYC series and podcast New Tech City. She also hosted an event the other day in WNYC's The Green Space called Hit the Reset Button for 2014, An Evening of Tech and Introspection. Nickname of the event, Your Digital Detox?
Your Digital Detox, yeah. Because, Brian, I mean, let's face it, this is the time of year when people are sort of giving up on their New Year's resolutions, right? And I talked to so many people who were like, for 2014, I want to spend more time doing things other than Facebook. I want to not let technology rule my life. So we really wanted to bring people together to talk about how do you do that? And we sort of discovered that there's two ways of going at it, right? There's your outer life, what you do with your day, how you decide to manage your time. And then there's your inner life, because bizarrely, Buddhism, mindfulness, they're having a moment with technology as well.
What do you mean they're having a moment with technology?
Okay, so you probably saw the cover of Time magazine last week was the mindful revolution. The New York Times recently wrote that mindfulness is having a moment. But actually, the hottest tech conference right now is Wisdom 2.0. It's coming up next month. And there is a crazy proliferation of apps, games to try and get you to that state of just being. And in fact, we have a guided meditation on our podcast this week, which I encourage you all to give a go. But there's also new technology coming up. For example, EEGs that you wear like a hat on your head, and it sort of brings you back when it finds that your mind is wandering, brings you back to that centeredness of meditation. And I think, you know, Vincent Horn was one of the experts that we had. He has a podcast called Buddhist Geeks. And he just said, you know, he thinks more people are getting into this because it's based in neuroscience. We now are learning what exactly the brain does and how it benefits us.
So listeners, if you have a digital mindfulness story or a digital detox story, maybe a digital relapse story after your New Year's resolution, oh, so many days ago, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Call up and confess where you're at in your digital 12-step program or however you want to enter this conversation, 212-433-9692. And I should say, Maroosh, we're going to out you here that in the latest episode of your New Tech City, you confess to being an addict yourself, addicted to Pinterest.
Pinterest, yeah. And if you don't know Pinterest, it's crazy addicting. It's a photo website. And essentially, you look at pictures and then you pin them to your boards. And this happened to me when we started remodeling our place. And I just got really deep into Moroccan tiles and bathroom fixtures and herringbone wood floors and fell down these rabbit holes to the point where it's midnight. I've been doing this for 4 hours. And then, of course, you can't sleep because that blue light from the screen just keeps your brain buzzing. And I know that I am definitely not the only one. I've talked to people who have all kinds of crazy digital addictions.
Have you overcome your Pinterest addiction?
I came up with a very weird way of managing it. I don't think I've overcome it, but I manage it in that when I know I'm having a really heavy Pinterest week, I limit myself to one charge of my iPad so that I can have a binge. I can go for it and deplete the whole battery in one night, or I can, you know, sort of limit myself to home decor porn for a manageable amount every night.
What was that phrase?
Home decor porn. If you're an addict out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's those beautiful Scandinavian kitchens that have absolutely nothing on the countertops. And it's the fantasy, right? It's the fantasy that you get out of this. But there are other ways that we talk to people. Priya Parker, she was one of the people at our event. She runs something called Thrive Labs, and she helps companies and CEOs set goals by questioning their use of technology. So part of it is do an audit of how you're using your computer and your phone from a minute-to-minute basis on the day, and then look back and see, does this jive with how you say you're going to spend your time? Or are there hypocrisies that you can sort of root out?
So, like, how many tabs do I have open at one time? How often do I check Facebook or Twitter while I'm working on a task? Those are some of the things that Priya asks.
That's exactly right. And the other thing she says is reassess your relationship with your email. This is hilarious, I think. She says email is a list created by other people for you to do. So true. What about your own to-do list? If it fits with that, great. But if it doesn't, go to it as a source of information, not as sort of this is what must be completed in the next hour.
And folks, here are a few voices of some of the other people who attended the Digital Detox Mindfulness event at the Green Space last night who maybe don't have the healthiest relationships in the universe with their phones.
I'm always looking at my phone sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night.
I find it harder to focus on any one thing. Like, I have, even reading a book, I have my phone like on my lap, and if it buzzes a little bit, I get distracted and I check whatever is going on.
And any social media stream is overwhelming now. I mean, it's a compulsion in the sense that, like, if there's a spare moment, of course you're going to check your, like, Facebook feed or Twitter. I try to stay off Instagram just because I don't need another social network in my life, but yeah.
And we go right from there. Oh, did you want to say something about that?
I want to ask you, Brian, what is your addiction?
My addiction?
Yes. I know you're very prolific on Twitter.
Twitter.
Last night you were doing a web chat.
And email.
Email.
Yeah. Twitter and email. Constantly looking.
Constantly.
Constantly,
right?
Looking.
Yeah.
And figuring out, you know, what do I want to say in response to somebody who's tweeting at us? And it might distract me from some other task.
Yeah, but, it's not a bad thing. It's just about putting limits, right? And one of the other things Priya suggested was she and her husband have these things called We Are Here Days, which have rules. 4 friends, no phones, 12 hours straight, and they go and they explore a New York neighborhood. And, you know, it's obviously not rocket science. Oh, my gosh, people going to explore a New York neighborhood. How, shocking. But turning off their phones for 12 hours and just being together – that has become a rare occurrence in this day and age.
Ken in Rocky Point, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ken.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I just wanted to say that I have found that I'm using technology such as my iPad to access mindfulness at times where, you know, I might use a website to read more about some of the Buddhist philosophy or just to center myself with some calming music or watch videos on YouTube that might put me back into that place.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've found a lot of apps and we've got a list of them on our website, just like your caller was saying, Buddhify, Smiling Mind, Simply Being. We've got a huge list of them on newtechcity.org of apps that are sort of, you know, if you can't beat them, join them, right? You're not going to not use your phone, so why not try and use it for something like finding some more mindfulness?
But this whole thing is an oxymoron, isn't it? You're going to use the technology to find you an app that's all about getting away from your devices.
It does sound counterintuitive. I'm going to go with you on that one. But I would say, look, the option of just putting away your phone, it's not an option. Let's give up on this idea of on or off and find ways to use it and manage it and be sort of, dare I say, at peace with it. Your phone is your friend, we've discovered, right? But so let's try and use it productively.
Aliza in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, how are you, Brian?
Good. What you got?
I was just kind of more a comment. You know, we're asked to digital detox and whatnot, and this is kind of the second year in a row that Joe Biden was looking at his BlackBerry pretty much continuously during the State of the Union. And I kind of feel like if he can't, you know, ignore it on national television with ultimately his thoughts in the room, it's kind of hard for the average person to.
Yeah. Aliza, I was just sort of wondering, was he checking Twitter? Because this was the first year that I had really heard that members of Congress were constantly commenting during the president's speech. And I wondered if he was looking for real-time feedback, in which case maybe we need to change how we judge what he's doing. I don't know. I feel of two minds about that.
I noticed it last year as well, as the last time that he and John Boehner were behind Barack Obama. So I think it was, this is the second time I've noticed it. And it's not something, I actually like him. I think he's a great guy. But I was a little surprised to see it, you know, in that context. And also from someone, frankly, that's of an older generation, that it's not natural to.
Thank you very much, Aliza. Somebody should ask him that question. What was he doing? I know I've had the experience of being on stage and on television in a televised mayoral debate. And when I'm not asking a question, I'm tweeting.
And do you find that you can stay with the conversation? I mean, you
you're not
a multitasker.
Right,
but
so I'm multitasking and I'm picking those moments where I have to concentrate on what's going on and those moments where I feel like I've got a morsel from the debate that's worth tweeting out, you know, that's going to add to the public conversation. But somebody could have gotten the misimpression that I was talking to my wife or whatever.
You're like, honey, what's for dinner?
Exactly.
Do I need to get milk on the way home?
Justin on Staten Island. You're on WNYC.
Hey there. I'm a longtime student of Robert Thurman and Sharon Salzberg. And Sharon Salzberg is doing an online meditation course. She does it every February. Both Sharon and Robert Thurman are really active on social media, and I'm pretty sure they're participants at this Wisdom 2.0 conference you're talking about. But they lead an online meditation course that you can basically do meditations online with them during the month of February. But the thing I like that Sharon Salzberg, she does these things called stealth meditations, and there are meditations that you can do anywhere, and they're designed to be done at your desk or on the train. But I'm finding social media really useful for meditation practice.
What's the shortest meditation that she has?
The shortest one that I've seen, a lot of them are work-based, but a lot of them is just taking, not answering the phone until the third phone rings.
Easy.
There you go.
But I will say researchers that were working with the Department of Defense, they had a recent information come out that 12 minutes is sort of the minimum to get you to train the brain to be able to get back to that place. And they tested it out on Marines, and it seemed to work.
It shows how time is speeding up. There was a time when the meditation groups are saying all you need to take out of your day is 20 minutes twice a day.
Yeah,
and then it's 12 minutes. And now it's, well, just wait for the third ring on the phone. Manoush Zomorodi is the host and managing editor of the WNYC series and podcast.
And I just want to invite
people. New Tech City. Go ahead.
Next Tuesday, we have another event. It's about tech, music, and the brain. Lori Anderson is going to be there. She's amazing. And it's going to be a great night out. So come and join us at the Green Space on Tuesday night.
Thanks a lot. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.
Thanks, Brian.